introducing Pastor Mark Kasten. He pastors as lead pastor over at Bridge Church in Hamburg, not too far from Cabela's. So that's a good thing. And he's got a lot of good things going on. Busy time of year for him. He was telling me a little bit before the service here today. So let's make him feel welcome as he come and share the word with us.
Thank you. That is so kind. And my wife, number one, has apologized. Some of you have asked, well, where's your wife? And she's holding a fort down while I'm away here. And but she did apologize, and she does send her love to you all. And so we appreciate that. Just appreciate today the fellowship, but I also appreciate the organization of it. You know, it's a good thing when, you know, the Bible says when you do something, you want to do it with all your might and all your strength. You want to do it unto the Lord. And when you see something done well, you want to honor that. And Gloria, just a great job. I just appreciate you. Really, very well done. Very well done. I said to some of the ladies who are serving, they're dressed in these nice patriotic aprons. And they said, it's Gloria. And it's all about Gloria. And so it looked really nice. And so it's just wanted to give a shout out to you as well. And the pastor and his wife, beautiful job, and so really nice, and congratulations on this beautiful place and the potential that Allentown has. This has incredible potential to make an impact on for the kingdom of God against the darkness of evil, and so we're so grateful. And Pastor, listen, I don't have the energy you have, but what a prayer. It was beautiful, man, beautiful prayer, and I was right there with you, agreeing with you, because the Bible says we're two or three agree on anything in his name. You know, it shall be done. So agreeing in your prayer, man, it's going to be done. And so, and I do have a real burden for our nation. I'm very concerned about our nation and where we're at in our nation. And so I encourage our people all the time, we've got to pray for our nation and engage. I'd encourage you, as I encouraged my church, and maybe I'm meddling, I shouldn't need to be careful, but I would encourage you. I had said this to our church about a month ago, 2 months ago. I had asked our church, how many of our people are engaged in calling their congressmen and senators? And that day, probably around 700 people, maybe 10 or 12, and maybe there were others that didn't raise their hand because they were, but not many people. We've lost our voice because we're not engaged. And you don't have to protest, and you don't have to put signs up, and you don't have to be arrogant and ignorant. You can be calm and peaceful, but you've got to engage. You've got to engage. So let me encourage you as believers, open your mouth, verbalize, call, all right? But number one, pray, all right? And well, that's free. Thank you. Yeah, there you go. There you go, Gary. Well, my message comes out of Psalm 77 today. And when I was asked about a month and a half ago, maybe a little longer, to share with you, this message came to me. It's not new, but it came, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this. So I'm going to share this with you today. Would you mind standing one more time for the Word of God? There's something, I just have a respect for God's Word. And in our church, we stand for the Word of God. But anyway, Psalm 77, verse 16. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and withered. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Verse 19. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so, Father, I ask you today just to bless us. I thank you for the time of worship, and I thank you for the encouragement and song, and I thank you for the fellowship, and I thank all of you for those that served so diligently out of a heart today, Lord Father, how they served your people today. So bless all those that are involved. And Lord, I pray that you'd add your blessing upon your word this day. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you ever feel trapped? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the golden ages. You know, they talk about the golden ages, and you look forward to that moment where it's retirement. The time you retire, the time that you're able to spend with your spouse because you didn't have the time to spend with your spouse, and you're going to get to know your spouse better than you've ever did because you were raising children and you were busy with work. And so now those golden ages are going to allow you to spend the moments with your spouse that you didn't have time before. Or go maybe traveling. You never traveled, but now this is going to give you the opportunity to travel. And you dreamt about what it's going to be in the golden ages when you got to that point, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's financially. You prepared for those moments where, wow, we're going to live better than we ever lived before. And you get to those golden ages, that golden moment where you retire and you begin to walk through it, and you realize that it's not as golden as you thought it was. And perhaps maybe you feel trapped. Maybe you feel trapped today. Well, this psalm opens with a cry of doubt and despair because the Israelites thought that God had changed his mind. The Red Sea is in front of them, and behind them is the Egyptian army trapped. See, it's all about where you are in these moments when you feel trapped, to the place that God has prepared for you. In the journey, Israel thought that God had forgotten them. Yet God, the truth of it, God was really working behind the scenes. So here's the question that I want to answer for you today. What do you do when you feel like God has forgotten you? In the moments where you feel trapped and you feel like God has forgotten you, what do you do when it feels like God has forgotten you? Well, let me give you three thoughts today, very quickly. The first thought I would say to you, resist the status quo. Resist the status quo. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you don't like the things in your life at the present moment, you can resist it and you can change your circumstances. Moses, his parents resisted the status quo. They put him in a basket because they knew the decree that all children under the age, male children, were going to be destroyed. Moses' parents just didn't put him in a basket and float him down the river and say, okay, by chance, he's going to live. No, Moses' parents had a plan. They put him among the reed, knowing that Pharaoh's daughter came to this certain place. And so they made a basket. They put him among the reeds because Pharaoh's daughter every morning would come and bathe. They resisted the status quo. If nothing changes, listen, nothing changes. Let me say this. See, listen, hope is not a strategy. I hope things are going to change. You can't hope your way out of your situation. Hope is not a strategy. You've got to ask yourself, what is my plan? When you feel that God has forgotten you, you begin to pray and you ask God for wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. So as you are asking God for wisdom, you've got to say, God, give me the wisdom, give me the plan for my situation at this present moment. If you need a marriage that, listen, you thought in the gold age that you were going to communicate better, and when you got there, listen, he has his chair in his room, and you have your chair in your room, and there's no communication, and your marriage is no better than it once was, listen, and you need that change, you need to go to God and ask for wisdom. God, how can my marriage change to be the marriage that you desire my marriage to be? If you are in debt, you had planned well, but you had unknown circumstances, and now you're struggling financially, you need to approach God and say, God, you have the wisdom, you have the plan, you know exactly how to get me out of this situation. Lord, I am dependent upon you. I come, you tell me to ask, and so I'm asking, Lord, give me the plan to get me out of debt. Listen, if you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, maybe because you've been busy through life and you have not paid attention in that part of your life, your spiritual walk, you've allowed that to lapse. Now you're in the golden ages. Maybe this is your opportunity to spend more time with God and more fellowship with God's people so that you're able to mature and grow and to be all God has desired you to be. Perhaps you're single today, and maybe you're a widower. I don't know. And you're lonely. Can I tell you that you need to go to God in prayer and say, God, what is your plan for my loneliness? It might not be another spouse. I don't know it might be. But it might be just fellowship. And how do you get that? You've got to have a plan. What is your plan? You will never hope your way out of change. And so you've got to say, God, what is my plan? What is your plan for me? You know, we quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 all the time, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say it with me. Lean not unto my own understandings, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. We quote that. Now we've got to pray it and apply it. All right? So number one, what we're going to do is resist the status quo. The second thing we're going to do is do the right thing even when it feels like God is absent. Do the right thing even when you feel like God is absent. No progress without process. There's no progress without process. You work the plan even when you don't feel like it, because that's faith. You know, we want the magic and God wants the trust. And so we want it now. And if God's not answering in 3 days, what do? We throw in the towel, we stop praying, we stop believing, and we move on, and we still continue in the status quo. But God wants you and I to trust him. So instead of being impatient and having to do it all over again down the road, be patient and do it the way God wants to do it in your life, even when you don't feel like it. Let me give you the definition of maturity. Because maturity has nothing to do with age. All right? Maturity is not an age. But this is maturity. To operate outside of your feelings. That's maturity. Maturity is the ability to operate outside of our feelings. If you live by feelings, you and I will never change. Think about this. Did you feel like going to work every day of your life? There's not too many of us would say, listen, Monday morning, I feel like getting up and going to work. But despite your feelings, what did you do? You got up and you went to work. Faith is having the maturity to trust despite how I feel, to operate outside of my feelings. And friends, listen, some of us are waiting on God, but here's the truth. God is waiting on us. You do the right things, even when you don't feel like it. And when it doesn't seem to be working, listen, God is always working behind the scenes and will answer you. Don't think that you can go to the gym for 2 weeks, work out and quit, and expect your body going to look different. It's not going to happen. And if it's not going to happen to you physically, it's not going to happen to you spiritually. There is no progress without the process. So don't trade. Listen, don't trade for what you want most for what you want in the moment. So resist the status quo and do the right things even when it feels like God is absent. And lastly, as we're going to close here, take heart and remember God's plan never fails. Take heart and realize that God's plans never fails. The Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Ask God to give you a song. Ask God to give you a scripture that you're able to share and to quote and to confess before the Lord. Because God's plan never fails. He always will work it out for his good. And eventually, I promise you, just like the Israelites, they got to the promised land. And God's going to bring you to where he wants you to be as you learn to resist the status quo and you learn to trust him despite your feelings. Those moments in your life when you feel or felt like God has forgotten you, where you felt trapped. Listen, God might not have changed your circumstances, but it's in those moments that God will change us. He doesn't always change your circumstances right away, but he is in the process of changing you and changing me. And perhaps what God is doing in your life today, God is in the process of doing something deep and wonderful, and you've got to trust him because he's preparing a plan for you today. You know, think about this. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a 400-year gap. It's called the silent years because there was no communication for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the people of Israel, listen, they were looking for a Messiah because they thought that when the Messiah came, that he would change the political, the economic, and society at large. Remember, they were under the Roman oppression, and they thought that the Messiah was going to change everything. Well, the Messiah came, and what happened to the Messiah? He was crucified. He was crucified. It looked like it was over, that the circumstances that they were in would never change. But while God was being crucified, he was doing his greatest work. And God might be silent in your life this day. He might not be speaking to you at this moment, but it doesn't mean that God is absent. And today he might be silent, but maybe he's doing a greater work that he's ever done within your life. Never evaluate the love of God by your circumstance, but always evaluate the love of God through his Son. Because the Son is the one who gives you and I life and has a purpose and a plan for you. So three things today if you feel trapped. If in front of you is the Red Sea, behind you the army of Israel, man, this is not the plan that you had. It's not what you want to go through. But friends, there's three things that you can do. Resist the status quo. If nothing changes, nothing changes. You got to begin to change things. Faith is moving, man. Faith is not standing still. Faith is believing, though it's not, right? Right? So what is your plan? What's your plan? What are you going to ask God for wisdom? Think about that. When you go home, man, what are you going to pray? God, give me wisdom. I need a plan for this. And begin to write it down before the Lord. Do the right thing, even when it feels like God is absent, because that's faith. And thirdly, take heart and remember God's plan never fails. Listen, if he's brought you to it, he's going to bring you what? He's going to bring you through it, all right? He's going to bring you through it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you love us so much. That, Lord, Father, that, Lord, the Israelites, they couldn't see the footsteps that you had provided for them. Lord, they couldn't see it. It was covered by the sea. And yet underneath the sea, there was your footstep. You had a plan. It was all marked out. They had thought that you had forgotten them. But the reality, Lord, Father, you had already marked out a path. Lord, sometimes we feel trapped. We feel like the army is behind us and the Red Sea is in front of us. And we can't see tomorrow. And we feel like there's no hope. And Lord, that's not true. That's the greatest lie of the enemy, to make us lose hope. Lord, you have underneath that sea, underneath that obstacle, you have marked out a plan. You have marked out a path. Lord, you know exactly how to get us from point A to point B. God, I pray today if anybody in this room feels trapped. I pray if somebody in this room feels, Lord, that you have forgotten them. I pray, God, that they would resist the status quo. That they would, Lord, Father, ask you for the wisdom, for the plan that you have for their marriage, for their finances, for their family. Lord, Father, I am not sure what they need, but God, you do. And Lord, I pray that as they ask, I pray that you would answer it, and I pray that you would mark out a plan for them because you've already done it. I pray, God, that we would walk by faith and not by sight. I pray that we would not walk by our feelings, but we would trust you in every aspect of our life. Lord, we're dependent upon you today. So I'm asking you today to watch over us. I'm asking you, Lord, Father, to set us free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I pray that these next years would be the best years of our life. Lord, I pray blessings upon this generation. I pray strength for this generation. I pray encouragement for this generation. I thank you for the example that they set for us. Lord, as Gloria's was singing with zeal, Lord, those songs of old, Lord God, I remember my childhood thinking, Lord, thank you for the saints that have gone before us that set, Lord Father, the path for us, that set the example, Lord, for us to follow. And I pray that this generation would continue to set the example for our younger generation. Lord, bless them real good today. This afternoon, just while your heads are bowed, I don't know where you are with the Lord. I don't know where your journey is. Maybe you've been serving the Lord for a long time, but maybe you haven't, and you're here, and you're in this journey, and you're looking for the Lord. You're looking for peace. You're looking to break out of the status quo, if you will. You feel trapped. You know, religion is all about working your way to God. You're trying to get God's approval. And you've got to ask yourself, if it's all about religion, then how good do you have to be, and when do you get God's approval? Because the moment that you think that you've got God's approval and you're good enough is a moment where pride kicks in and you realize that you're not good enough. See, it's all about faith. It's all about relationship. It's all about trust. Jesus came so that you would have life. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it's the moment where salvation takes place. Your life is transformed. And today, maybe you've never experienced that. You've never invited Christ in. And this morning or this afternoon, you would say, Pastor, that's where I'm at. I need Jesus in my heart. I want him today. And so I don't want to embarrass anybody today. But if that is you, I wondered if you could raise your hand real high and say, Pastor, I need to pray a prayer of salvation. I want to confess Jesus as God of my life and give him control. Is there anybody today? Then we're all saved, and that's a beautiful thing. And we're grateful for that. Well, thank you for allowing me to come to share today with you. I'm going to turn this back to the pastor.